Welcome to the Bridge Podcast, a digital worship service. We know that walking with the Lord isn't easy, and we hope this show is a way to come alongside you and offer a little extra weekly encouragement. Most of the content for the show was originally created for our BridgeBox subscription service. For more information, go to missionusa.com/BridgeBox.
Yes. a real good word already tonight. And one of the things that we were just covering here is this idea of not being a nitpicker. And that's the thing about being a nitpicker. If you're a nitpicker, you're always going to find a nit to pick. And I want to talk about the other side of that is, are we sure we recognize a good man of God?
Yeah.
Are we sure we recognize a good woman of God when we're dealing with one? Because I don't think we do that. I think sometimes there's a tendency to kind of paint it all with one brush. And I believe everybody in this room has someone in their life that's given them a good word that's really helping them. But maybe we're not taking time to pull up and listen to that and give it the gravity. Maybe that's just another voice and a lot of other things kind of bouncing around. And we're getting a lot of other input from a lot of people who maybe don't know as much about what they're talking about. So we have to figure out, you know, how do we recognize this? And I wanted us to start with this this one quick little teeny bit of scripture I'm going to give you about it. Now, you know, in the Old Testament, that was before Jesus came. When Jesus came, that was the New Testament, right? Well, all the people in the Old Testament, those were the Jews. So when Paul was doing his ministry, all that they had was the Old Testament because, you know, Jesus had just come. So they didn't have the New Testament written yet, you know. And Paul was the one that wrote a whole lot of it, if you remember. Okay, so Paul was going around saying, okay, Jesus is the Son of God, and he died for your sins. And now there's a new way to be connected to God, not through these rules, but through Jesus, right? And then he said this, in the Old Testament, which you've got, there are all these prophecies. And a prophecy is just a prediction. It's saying, you know, you could tell who Jesus is because he will be, these certain things will have happened, you know, and so like someone's going to betray him, and, you know, the person who's going to betray him, we're going to hang himself, and, you know, and all these different prophecies that he would die on a tree and all these different things, and that is all in the Old Testament, right, years before Jesus is even born. It's all predicted. So Paul comes into this town, he was coming from a place called Thessalonica. That's, you know, and they didn't get down with anything he was saying. They didn't like it. So he's going to, and if you have a name of your town like that, it'll make you angry. You just walk around mad all the time because no one can pronounce it or spell it or anything, is my prediction. So he goes to a town that's way easier to say, called Berea, was the name of that place. Berea. And he goes in there, and he tells them the same message. He says, Jesus is alive. He's come, and he's paid for your sins, and now you have a way to be connected to God. And you can know this is true because I'm going to tell you about his life. I'm going to tell you where he was born. I'm going to tell you all these different things about how he died. And all of that was predicted in the Old Testament. And I tell you what the Bereans did. The Bereans heard all this and said, well, you know what? This sounds like real good news. We like the sound of it. But what we're going to do is we're going to get out the Old Testament right now, and we're going to go through that, see? And we're going to look it up, and we're going to make sure that what you're telling us is the truth. Okay? Here's what Paul said about that. The Berean Jews were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica. That's how you spell it. For they received the message with great eagerness and what? Examined the scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. He liked that. I like that. I think this is what you should do. When you see this is in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 11. Now, maybe I'm just taking this verse out of context. So what I want you to do is go home tonight. I want you to read this whole chapter of Acts 17. See all the things that was happening before, everything that happened afterwards. And that way, you're going to keep me honest. You're going to check and make sure that what I'm telling you here applies to your situation, see? I want you to do that. I'm asking you to do that. Now, if I'm asking you to do that and somebody else says, here's this Bible verse, don't bother looking at anything else, you can see how that's a little bit different.
Right.
You see, I think this is what we need to do is to recognize that God welcomes this I want to be sure kind of mentality, that he welcomes this. Yeah, because they liked the sound of it. That wasn't the thing. You know, it sounded good to them. They weren't trying to be nitpickers at all, like we were just talking about. They said, you know, we receive it with eagerness. It's good news. Why not? But before they believe it, they wanted to make sure for sure. See, I like that. I think the problem is a lot of people hear a message that their itching ears want to hear, but they don't go look that up because they don't want to find out it's not for real, see? There's a lot of problems with that. Believe me, I know I would be more popular and would have a suit with more buttons. You follow me? If I preach about, you know, the Lord wants you to have money. And the money, more money. If you had more, God wanted trying to bless you. And you hold out your hands, God's going to fill them up with the blessing. You got to plant a seed of faith. And here's where you plant the seed of faith. Right here in my pocket. I'll hold it out to you. That's right where you plant your seed of faith. Right in there. God's going to make you rich. I mean, I'm going to get rich first. But then you're going to get rich. You're going to eventually... No, wait a second now. Hold up. That's a different thing now. Now, you didn't tell me to give all this money to poor people as a way of planting the seed of faith. That would have been a different thing. See, we can't just turn off our discernment on these things. And I get nervous when some of these people are trying to tell me how this stuff works. And I tell you what else I don't feel comfortable with this idea. A lot of people ask me, come up to me and say, well, what do you think about this guy? What do you think about that guy? And it's always the fame, the celebrity. Yeah. You know, we got these celebrities now, celebrity preachers. And some of them are fine. You know, I don't know them, so I don't know what to tell you. They're never down at the jailhouse when I'm there. So, whatever that is. That's all I need to know. They're not down at the hospital praying for people when I go down there. So, I don't know what else to tell you with that, dude. But I don't like the idea of going with the crowd and chasing something popular. I don't like that as a way of doing my spiritual walk. I think part of what we're discovering today is sometimes we have to pull up and wait. And again, maybe there's somebody, maybe it's an auntie, maybe it's a grandmother, maybe it's a deacon at the church, maybe it's a pastor that's always giving us a good word, you know, but we kind of skip past that. We're just too busy running, ripping and running, listening on them, getting on to somebody on the radio and all that kind of whatever. And we have to stop and pull up and say, wait a second, now maybe I already heard a good word here and I need to go back to that and get more of that. Make no mistake, though, I think there's a lot of, you know, when we talk about church stuff, there's always a lot of mentality of, are you supposed to measure up to what the church is doing? Are you supposed to present yourself to the church in such a way that you're acceptable to the church? Or is it supposed to be the other way? And I'm going to make that real clear to you right now. Okay? It's my job, it's these pastors' job, to do what we can to show you what we want to do for you and how we want to serve you to try and get you to accept us. You already been accepted. That's what this meeting is. That's our. If you're here, you've been approved, okay? That's what you're wondering about. These pastors are here to try and impress you with how much they would like to see you in their church and how much they are celebrating the work that you're putting into their walk. That's why I'm here. That's what this meeting is that you're a part of. We understand it's in my mind, it's in the mind of all the people on my staff that we must do whatever we can to measure up, to be worthy of the time and the attention that you give us. We get on our knees, we pray for you by name, we go through it with the Lord on what's going on. We have staff meetings on Sunday. We will sit down and we'll go through, you know, so-and-so's having some struggles. What can we do? What can we say? How can we help this person? We go through all these things. You don't realize that we talk about you behind your back like you don't even know. You don't even know. We are organized. You don't even know, because we want to do the absolute best job that we can. I think I'm going to say one other thing here about some of these churches that we know. Yes, they're on something crooked, and as Pastor Starr says, you know, we've got to pray for them. We hope one day they'll figure themselves out, and you know, it's not our place to try and judge on that. But I wonder sometimes if we look at ourselves and say, you know, I have sort of a shady past and I don't have my act together very much. And I go down to this church and there's a lot that appears to be pretty shady. And maybe I could fit in with that, and that would be sort of a dodge for me. That would be a way I could ignore. You see what I'm saying? That's a way of hiding in a crowd, you know? Do you ever, probably none of y'all have ever done anything like this. I'm going to explain. But do you ever do that where you buy five tickets and you got six people and y'all hand them the ticket and then everybody go in? And nobody ever heard of that in this room. I'm going to explain crime to you now. Everybody trying to act straight. You put that five tickets down there while he's adding them up. All six of you are already shot past him. See what I mean? He's trying to count tickets and count heads, and you can't, you know. But I think some people go into church that way. Y'all know what I'm talking about? We can't do that. This is not how this should be done here. It's all right. Believe me, it is all right to be that person in the church that is on the new. We love that. We rejoice in that. It's all right that you're at the beginning of your journey. That's fantastic. We celebrate that. That's good. We appreciate that. You don't need to do something to impress us. You don't need to do anything to earn our love for you. It's just there. And I hope that you can accept that. Amen? Amen. God bless you. We love you. We love you.